Hi, welcome to Blogging Heads TV. This is Culturally Determined, and I'm your host, Aria Cohen-Wade. And my guest today is Kristen Capps. Kristen, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Kristen. I am a staff writer for City Lab, the urbanism channel at The Atlantic.
Great. So we're going to be talking about a show that was a miniseries that recently wrapped up on HBO, and it's called Show Me a Hero. And we'll hopefully be having this conversation in a way that people who haven't seen the show can still get some benefit from it, but we might be having some minor spoilers. And since it's based on a true story, there's some stuff that you can look up online and find out what really happened. So for people who haven't heard about the show or haven't seen it, can you briefly describe what Show Me a Hero is about?
I'm sure. Show Me a Hero tells a story about housing fight from the late 1980s in Yonkers, New York. And this is a real life story. It involves politicians in Yonkers. It involves people in Yonkers, and it involves Federal Housing Authority. It is based on the book of the same name by Lisa Belkin, which is highly recommended. And it is one of the most dramatic and kind of contained versions of the story that we've seen from many places, where after the passage of the Fair Housing Act in 1968, the authorities began to, you know, actually implement this legislation, and it required integration in American housing.
Right. So you read the book that this that the miniseries is based on?
Yeah, when actually I only read it when the show came out, but I was able to read it right before the show came out, which is very exciting. Housing policy doesn't usually feature into an HBO miniseries, much less one by David Simon. So this was sort of a big deal.
Right. So this is definitely the most interesting, most well-produced, dramatic portrayal of a housing integration fight I've ever seen. And I can't think of immediately any other portrayals of this kind of story in film or TV. And you know, if anyone who missed the show, if you have HBO, you can go to HBO Go, and it's on there, and you can watch it. It's 6 hour long or so episodes, and I really enjoyed it. So what did you think of it just as a piece of dramatic television?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the best housing show there's ever been. I can't think of another one. It's probably best to actually think of it in terms of art about the civil rights era. Even though it takes place in 1987, it's very much the story itself is very much a product of the 1960s, and well, very much still with us today. We're still grappling with all the same issues. I think that's what makes it such good artwork, is that it is not a historical period piece. It's really very, very contemporary.
Right.
The same fight that you see in Yonkers is actually taking place in Westchester County right now, and Yonkers is the largest city in Westchester County. It's just a struggle that's been taking place for a century, or really, if you think about it, for the entire history of the United States.
Right. Yeah. So that's a great point. A movie like Selma dramatizes something that happened, you know, within the lifetimes of many people who are still around, but somehow seems like a different world than today's world. Whereas this show, which is set in the late 80s and early 90s, kind of seems more like our contemporary world. So how do you think the show portrayed politics? I thought it had kind of we have to decide whether to give away the kind of the sad ending of the show, but it portrayed politics in an interesting way, but also as something that can't really save you, or if you devote too much of your life to politics, then that's a big mistake.
I think that one of the interesting conceits of the show, just built into its title, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that the line draws from the line, show me a hero and I'll show you a tragedy, and something like that, I believe. You know, there are many people who are kind of cast in the hero mode, especially the central figure, Mayor Nick Wasisco, played by Oscar Isaac. Beautiful, beautiful job. But every hero in this story lets someone down, and many of them let themselves down. And it's a beautiful piece of artwork. But as far as the politics goes, it's actually very very realistic. You can actually go on YouTube. Now, I don't recommend you Google too much about Wasisco or the central characters in this drama, because there are some big spoilers and you maybe want to avoid those. But you can look on YouTube and find old council debates between council member Spallone and Nick Wasisco, where they're just screaming at each other. They're calling each other liars. They're having this drawn out fight about a plan to build 200 units of affordable housing in Yonkers, in the kind of rich, white, affluent part of Yonkers. And those,
or even perhaps more accurately, like kind of just a white middle class part of Yonkers.
Right. Yeah, not affluent so much as just stolidly middle class Italian American Yonkers.
Yeah, and very racially segregated.
Absolutely.
Right. So there's some incredible scenes, which I, since they were originally on video, must be accurate, of these council meetings, where they're debating this decree, which basically the courts have ordered them to build these housing units, and if they don't do it, the city is going to be bankrupted by ruinous fines. And these scenes are pretty incredible and portray the white citizens in a very negative light. One of the things I thought was interesting and probably is historically accurate and kind of makes sense is that, you know, there was no one, there were no people from the public housing projects who attended the city council meetings. And probably they didn't even know what was going on. So there was this giant fight, and the people who were going to be helped by it were probably unaware, or they at least didn't show up to the meetings. And the people who felt like their interests were threatened by it staged these massive, crazy protests of, you know, yelling, screaming, jumping on cars, and smashing windshields. And this kind of continues on, this theme of kind of the people who are being helped by the politicians not really realizing it kind of continues on throughout the series. What did you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think that's mostly right. You do see that in there is another documentary, I believe, by Bill Kavanaugh called Brick by Brick. It's an hour long and it's about the same battle. And you do see a few more of the black activists who were involved in this struggle in that depiction than you do in Show Me a Hero. But this makes sense, the kind of divide you're talking about, where you have housing decisions and court cases that are going to affect the lives of many, many people who have lower incomes, many, many minorities, and they're not at these council hearings, these hotly contested council hearings. Well, some people were, but who in this council represented these people? The Yonkers City Council was all white, seemingly mostly all Italian American, and they overwhelmingly represented the interests of middle class white Yonkers. There was no council member who truly represented Southwest Yonkers, where all of the projects had been built, where I believe 7,000 units of low income housing had been built in one square mile area over the course of, you know, probably 30, 40 years. There was no one speaking for them until there was basically a political opportunity and Nick Wasisco seized it.
Right, and what happens in the plot line is that the character Nick becomes mayor, running against the housing plan, and as soon as he is elected, he realizes he's going to have to be the one to implement the housing plan, and that's where he possibly becomes one of the heroes of this story. So, what did you think of the portrayal of the characters who are in public housing, and we kind of get their stories piecemeal at the beginning, and then we learn more about them, and there's a climactic kind of lottery scene where we see whether or not they're going to get to move into this new housing. How did you think they were presented?
This is, of course, where David Simon's great talent comes in, from telling not just the history of the council, but the history of the people who lived in projects like Schlobaum and decided, perhaps even reluctantly in some cases, that they wanted to try out this new kind of housing being built in a different, better part of town. I think it's great. I admired that he chose to portray a Puerto Rican family, which a single mother with kids, single working mom, which I think
they're actually supposed to be Dominican.
Dominican, yes. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Dominican. That's right. And mm-hmm. we do not see Hispanic or Latino immigrants represented in this conversation as much as I think probably we should. Otherwise, you know, we see families from many generations, which is, I think, a good way to kind of like spread out the narrative and explain what's going on.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Simon is very good at this, and you know, I was, when I heard that Paul Haggis was involved in this, I was kind of worried because Crash is, in my opinion, such an awful movie about race, but maybe David Simon was able to rope in Paul Haggis's, kind of sentimental side or something. But I think the characters are presented, you know, as humans, and we see some of them, one in particular, like, kind of continually making bad life decisions. And yet we still feel sympathy for these characters and kind of want, you know, are rooting for them or want them to succeed, and don't, you know, they're not presented as paragons of virtue just because they're poor, but they're also not presented as, you know, people who are constantly screwing up their lives. So I really did think it was a multi-layered and very good portrayal of these characters.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I think that's something that's still important to this debate today. As we've seen with the Supreme Court's decision in Inclusive Communities Project, and in HUD's ruling, the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Rule, what a mouthful, the government is now poised to really take on this problem of residential segregation, and it is an enormous problem. It will take direct political action, social engineering, if you want to call it that, to change the dynamics of this massive problem. And we're going to see this debate come up again and again, where we're already seeing it, where some white communities really want to avoid having low income housing in their neighborhoods. They don't want it in their backyards. They think it brings crime. There is obviously fear and racial hatred in this, and it is enormously important to have the voices of people, low incomes, people of color, represented in art and politics.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, the portrayal of the white incumbent homeowners. So, you know, you wrote a post about how there wasn't, at least in some of the episodes, there wasn't a lot of explicit racism. There was just appeals to property values and crime, and then later on we do see some more kind of explicit racism and even kind of terrorism, because someone puts a pipe bomb
right
at the construction site of these houses. At the same time, one of the main characters, and maybe the person who most epitomizes kind of a heroic role in the show, is this character Mary Dornan. Is that the last name?
Yes, that's right.
Who's based on a real person, as all these characters are. And she starts off being very opposed to the construction, and then eventually is kind of roped into this group that's helping the new residents move in, and she eventually kind of changes her mind. And I kind of thought that the portrayal starts off very, very negative. You have all these people yelling and screaming and seemingly insane about these, 200 units, which is not that much of low-income housing. But I also could kind of see things, from their perspective. They do care about their property values. This is not a crazy thing to care about. And the way the projects were portrayed on the show, there was a significant amount of crime and drug dealing in the projects. And so right. I think they had concerns that, I don't know if we want to call them legitimate, but they certainly felt like they were legitimate. I mean, how do you think the show portrayed that, and what did you think about kind of the arc of Mary's character?
I think that it's important. There's a scene in which Nick, with Cisco and his paramour, are talking about it. And Nick notes that the activist leading the Save Yonkers coalition, I believe his character was called Jack O'Toole. And with Cisco notes, these guys will never use racial epithets. You'll never hear them explicitly use racism in that kind of explicit weaponized way, because it is just political savviness to frame the debate in terms of property values, zoning rights, and that is the strategy that still prevails today. I think that when we talk about middle class or white neighborhoods, we have to remember that these were not built, they weren't exclusively built by homeowners. They were built in a lot of ways by the government. The white suburbs are every bit as much of a project as the public housing that became ghettos.
This would be through construction of highways and the loans that returning veterans after World War II were able to get if they were white.
Right. Going back right around to World War II, you saw the creation of a lot of suburbs, Levittown, New York being a good example, that were made possible through loans from the Federal Housing Administration, that were predicated on the precise condition that blacks not be allowed to buy these homes. So this was a social engineering project. And without blaming the people who have come to inhabit these communities, we have to recognize that that was a mistake. It's something that we have to really carefully reconsider. Protecting that value at the expense of the opportunity and wealth of people of color is not a priority, I think, that our government should heavily invest in.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you about one of the interesting real characters, real life figures in the show, and that is Oscar Newman, who designed the townhouses,
right,
that were the the central the locus of the central fight in the show. Could you tell me a little bit more about him and how are his ideas still prevalent in urban design?
They are. I mean, this was a very experimental time. If you think about just housing after World War II, things changed really dramatically everywhere, just across the country. But Newman shifted away from kind of tall, centralized, massive towers toward townhouses that have fewer kind of public spaces, or perhaps better integrated with the kinds of housing in other middle class communities, like we see in Show Me a Hero, has worked. It's something you still see in cities across the country.
One kind of interesting irony or seeming paradox that I saw in the way Newman's work was presented was they make a big deal out of the fact that these new houses will have basically private space, outdoor space for each individual family. And I believe they use the line, once people have the space, they will zealously guard it. And this is contrasted with kind of the common public spaces in the old style tower public housing. And these public spaces often became sites of, drug dealing, or they were just kind of trashed and no one felt like they had the responsibility to clean up these areas. And I was thinking that this kind of is a weird parallel to the, kind of conservative beliefs of the incumbent homeowners, who also want to zealously protect their homes and what they see as, a threat to their homes and their property values. I mean, and do you see that? There's kind of this weird, using a conservative idea of protecting your own private property in service of the liberal goal of providing affordable housing to everyone.
Well, it's an interesting paradox for sure. I mean, in the towers depicted in Show Me a Hero, like Schlobaum, or the other one I think that they show is Mulvin Gardens, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You have a tragedy of the commons, where you have this common space that no one can take ownership of. No one takes ownership of these public spaces, and everyone suffers for it. And it's exacerbated, of course, by this extreme concentration of poverty and lack of opportunity. So Newman's, I think, as I understand it, the central tenet of his vision was to kind of change their circumstances so that they operated more like homeowners, more like single family, semi-detached home owners.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, something of a twist or a paradox in the show. But one way in which, I think public housing or subsidized housing is changing is the notion of, inclusionary zonings in multifamily buildings. I think we're finding that we can gain the benefits of successful diverse, both racially diverse and income diverse communities, and still have the density that makes for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, the final question is these fights continue, and I believe in at the end of the show they said that the final lawsuits in this case were only settled in 2007 or something like that. So it's shocking.
Right.
This fight went on for over 20 years. What does the landscape look like now in terms of subsidized housing, public housing, affordable housing? Is it continuing in the Oscar Newman vein, or are there new developments?
Well, you can draw a straight line from Brown versus Board of Education to Show Me a Hero. The original case that inspired it, inspired the suit that the show explores, was a schools and busing case. And that's explored in Brick by Brick, the documentary I mentioned in the other segment. It's really worth a look. But it just continues on. I mean, it was only in June that the Supreme Court decided found that disparate impact applies to the Fair Housing Act, meaning that a housing situation does not need to be intentionally, explicitly racist in order to cause suffering for one group disproportionately. So we are still very much dealing with this. The federal government is working now to start enforcing this claim through the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing rule. And you see this even in Westchester County, that, you know, a very, very liberal Democratic, a reliably Democratic voting county elected a Republican executive on the promise to fight against, you know, to fight for Westchester County voting rights. It sounds exactly like the language from Show Me a Hero. It is the same fight we had yesterday. We're having it today. We will have it tomorrow. These problems will not go away because we've just done nothing to address them.
Right. Yeah. That Supreme Court case is certainly, I think, was a surprise. Most court watchers did not think that the liberals were going to win that case. And I have seen some kind of stuff online. It's kind of, you can kind of see as a bubbling up of the backlash already, although probably nothing has actually happened yet, of something like calling it like Obama houses or something, or, you know, now Obama wants to come into your neighborhood and, you know, remake it and this kind of stuff. So the backlash that Show Me Hero dramatizes is perhaps coming to a city or town near you.
Oh, it already exists. You've got it in National Review. Stanley Kurtz has I think he deserves credit for it for framing it as Obama zoning and fight
Obama
over
zoning. Yeah, that's what it is.
Zoning property rights. You see this in Seattle, for example, where the mayor tried to come up with a plan to make the overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly affluent single family zone that occupies most of the city into like a sort of lower density housing zone, so you could start to see some change and ensure that it's affordable and diverse, and this city flipped. I mean, they just totally lost it at the prospect of just increasing density. This doesn't even have anything to do with really public housing per se, but just increasing the prospect of density has just made Seattle lose its mind. You saw it in that McKinney Pool issue with the police officers who busted up a pool party, and a woman telling a child to get back to her Section 8 housing. That is because the Section 8 housing, public housing, and a lot of low income housing is all located in majority minority districts in every single city. So this is, I think, probably one of the defining housing problems of the 21st century, just as it was in the 20th century.
Okay, that sounds like a good place to end this conversation. I think we would both definitely recommend everyone check out Show Me Hero, which, as I said, is, you can probably see it on HBO Go if you have HBO, or even know someone who has HBO.
Right.
And thank you, Christian Capps, for coming on and discussing this show with me. And thank you to our viewers, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you so much.